Jesus is the only way to have peace with God. Though there is only one way to God, everyone's journey to Jesus is unique and magnificent. Here is a story of one's journey to Christ, now on Redemption Report. Welcome back to the Redemption Report podcast. This week I have a friend of mine that I've gotten to know a little bit through going to church together with her, but I'm excited to hear her story. She was one of the first ones that said I'd be willing to share, but scheduling has gotten in the way. So Sue, I'm so glad you've been able to join us and we get to record this and I get to hear your story finally.
Okay. I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah. Good.
I guess.
Yeah. We were just talking a moment ago, a little bit of nervousness going on, but that's all right. So Sue, can you tell me just a little bit about who is Sue Craner today?
Well, I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. I have one son and two grandkids.
Okay.
I am divorced. I was married 25 years. I had always thought that I would never get divorced because my mom was divorced, my sister was divorced, and my brother was divorced. And that was one of the things that I said would never happen. It did.
Mm-hmm.
But I had peace with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, my son was already raised. He was 25 or 26 by then. And my mom lived with us. So when we divorced, she and I, of course, moved out. And I bought a house, and she lived with me for 20 years till she passed. She was 100 years old.
Wow.
Sick only 2 weeks, and so it was a joyous time. I knew finally she was at peace when mm-hmm. she passed.
Mm-hmm.
I worked. I still work part time.
Okay.
One day a week, and that gets me out, gives me a little bit of extra money, and
yeah.
you know I enjoy doing it because I can get out and be with people.
Right.
I'm pretty much of a stay-at-home person. Everybody thinks I go a lot, but mostly where I'm going is for church things.
Okay.
Or doctors.
Okay.
anymore. But otherwise, you know, I enjoy staying home. I enjoy my house. And I know a lot of people don't, but I really do. As my friend said yesterday, you like to clean. And I do.
Okay. Well, if your house is like mine, there's always something to clean. So that gives you a lot of work
yeah.
to do.
Yeah, that's true. So.
Well, I appreciate your honesty. I know that can be very difficult to share, especially what you led with going through divorce. You know, I'm sure we may get into some more details on it, but I can definitely relate to that. I was divorced, you know, after being married in my early 20s. My marriage lasted just shy of 4 years, but I never had thought about divorce being an option. And I've learned a lot since then, both of what my perception was of divorce and also what my perception has changed and learned how God actually loves divorced people. Like,
yeah.
On the other side, looking through, you kind of look yeah. at people differently. I don't know if you were like me, but I always thought, yeah, they just didn't work hard, or they just didn't try, or they probably wanted to get divorced from the beginning, or something crazy like
yeah.
that. But then you go through it yourself, and you're like, oh, wow, like, this is painful. This is hard.
Yes, it's, even though I was the one that wanted a divorce, it was very painful,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have kids.
yeah, yeah.
Like I said, my mom was divorced when I was 5. I have a brother who is 80. He'll be 82. I have a sister who is deceased. She would have been 84.
Okay.
So I was the baby.
Yeah, yeah.
And sort of the uh-oh, you know. never told that. My mom never said that. But, you know, there was a big age difference.
Yeah.
So, but my sister died when she was 58.
Okay.
So.
Wow.
My brother does not live here. He lives in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
But I talk to him every week. And until my mom, well, until COVID hit, my brother and sister-in-law came home every year to see us. Now, since COVID hit, of course, they couldn't travel then. And my brother has some health problems. He had a stroke when he was 59. And so he has some health problems and trying to get through airports and stuff, especially now since there's not a direct flight. It's difficult for him. So I haven't seen him in 4 years.
Okay.
So, well, yeah. 5 years. So.
Yeah, especially that COVID time has changed a lot of people's traveling comfortabilities and plans.
My mom died during COVID. It wasn't COVID that killed her, but she died. You know, they shut down in March and she died in May.
Okay.
So.
Wow. So where did you grow up? Did you grow up in this area?
In Covington, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the northern part of Kentucky, for those that
yes,
are in
I
this
did.
Area. So you have you left Covington since you...
Not basically. Okay. I lived in Taylor Mill for several years when I was married, but, you know, still in the same basic area.
5 square mile radius.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, truthfully. I enjoy living here. I've always, you know, enjoyed living here.
Sure.
I never thought about moving anyplace else. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have friends that have moved all over the United States, but I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a little bit of the dynamic growing up with kind of where your siblings are at and kind of where your parents, how old were you, when they separated?
I was 5.
You're 5. Okay. Mm-hmm. So very, very
basically,
early on.
I really didn't know my dad.
Okay.
I would see him on the street, but basically he didn't come around.
Okay. Would you spend any time with him, or just like it was completely separated?
It was completely,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
So you knew who it was, but didn't.
Yeah, I knew who he was, and that was, you know, that was it. And that was not because my mom wouldn't let me. It was because it was his choice.
Okay.
And you know, I was probably better off because of it. He was an alcoholic.
Okay.
So, I was okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's still. Adds to kind of that pain that you probably had to carry growing up.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Yeah. So when did you first hear the name of Jesus? Was it early on in life?
It was early on. My mom taught Sunday school.
Okay.
At First Baptist Church in Covington for many, many years. So we, you know, we went to church, you know, we went to Sunday school, we went to Training Union. I don't know if you know about
it. I'm not familiar with that. No.
Training Union was on Sunday evening. And you would break up into groups, you know, as far as age, and you would learn things. And then they did have a service also in the sanctuary. So I was in GAs. Do you know what GAs is?
No.
That's Girls Auxiliary.
And
you went through steps, and I'm trying to think what they were.
Is it kind of like a precursor to Awana, like some one of those type of programs? Are you familiar with Awana?
No.
Oh, we're both terms out there, but
you went through steps and you became like a princess and a queen, and on that you learned Bible verses and you did things. So I went through that, and the lady that led that, she had a lot to do with me becoming a Christian. Not only my mom, but her, because her story was a lot different than ours. She was raised Catholic, and then became, you know, a Baptist and became, was baptized and became a Christian. I'm not saying Catholics aren't Christian.
No, you're good.
So her story, you know, meant a lot to me. Hmm. And she was very knowledgeable in the Bible and everything. So she had a lot to do with it. And there were a lot of great people in our church at that time that, you know, influenced me. So... Hmm. I became a Christian when I was 12.
Okay. Sounds like you heard the gospel from an early age.
Yes, yes.
When was there anything prior to believing? We'll get to the what happened at 12 years old, but was there anything before that where you'd heard the gospel, but that with any reservations that you had before accepting? Or
no, I don't think so. I don't think there was any reservations at all. I just, you know, when you grow up and you hear it, you know, weekly, or, you know, like I said, we were at church on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and Wednesday night, sometimes my mom worked, so sometimes that was difficult. But yeah, no, it wasn't anything, you know, real special or
anything. Okay. So what was different when you were 12 years old? What were the circumstances that surrounded that?
I've tried to think about that, and I don't know. I think finally God just got my heart.
Okay.
I can remember it was on a Sunday night. And, you know, when I went forward and, you know, knew. Now, I will say, as a teenager, I went to normal, most of the time went to church. But, you know, it was those times when I didn't always go. Once I was married and I had Kevin, I wanted him in church. So we started going to church.
Okay.
And went, he was in the youth group and everything. My husband did not. He was raised Catholic. And I felt like sometimes maybe he resented the fact that I went to church, especially on like on Sunday night.
Was he going to Catholic
mass
at all or anything?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm. No. I will say since then, he's become a Christian.
Cool.
And he does go, you know, he does go to church. And I am thankful for that because I prayed for it for a long time.
Yeah.
And just because we didn't work out, you know, I still wanted good for him.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. So at 12 years old, do you remember the circumstances? Like, was it after a church service or were you at home or where?
No, it was during church service. And I, like I said, I guess just at that point, maybe I opened my heart to God, you know. I, you know, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't any, you know, big powerful thing that hit me all of a sudden. It just, I knew that that's what I wanted, that I wanted Christ in my life.
Did you talk to someone about it or was it?
Not before.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
And so was there a prayer associated with it or did you go talk to someone or how do you remember the experience going?
Well, just went forward that night and the minister prayed with me, you know, and we talked some later afterwards and prior to me being baptized, so.
Yeah. Well, cool. Do you remember telling anyone about it after the fact or did your mom respond positively?
Oh, my mom was thrilled.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was thrilled. I don't remember. That's a long time ago, Timmy.
Sure. No, that's okay. That's okay.
You got to remember, I'm not any younger, so. But no, I don't remember anything, you know, specific.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's definitely nice to have that parental encouragement.
Yeah.
So often, if a child accepts Christ, but their parents aren't on board, it can be challenging.
Or, yeah.
You know, not sure who I should tell or how I should go about
right,
it.
Right. Right.
So obviously, like you mentioned, it was a while ago, so I don't want to expect all sorts of details or anything, but do you remember anything in your life changing, whereas like before I accepted Christ, I lived this way, but then after things changed, whether it be when you were 12 years old or later on in life, like you already mentioned, you prioritized going to church, whereas when you're married, that wasn't a priority for your spouse because that change hadn't taken place at that point, but what other types of changes did you see then or have you seen since?
One thing I've seen, and I don't know whether this bodes well or not, when I divorced, I became more ingrained in church. You know, I wanted to be more involved. I wanted to do as much as I could. And I enjoy doing that. Not for my glory, but for God's glory, because I enjoy helping people, you know, being in church and helping people. I so enjoy being in the nursery with the kids. Sometimes it's tiring, I really enjoy that. And I helped at Kids Club Vacation Bible School. Enjoyed doing that. So I do enjoy being involved. And that changed after I divorced. Probably because I felt freer. I didn't feel... And I don't want people to think I'm saying bad about him. It's just, that was my feeling. He never said anything. It was just, you know, sometimes you have a feeling that people are, you know, like sort of poo-pooing what you're doing.
Yeah.
But afterwards, I felt freer to be able to go out and, you know, if I was out 5 nights a week, that was okay. Because it was just me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well. That makes a lot of sense, because if someone is not necessarily going in the same direction as you, they're not going to be pulling in the same direction.
Right.
Like that imagery in scripture, a lot of times refers to business, but it can apply to marriage as well, being yoked together with your spouse,
right,
and two oxen. If one's pulling to the side, like you may want to be going straight, or you maybe want to go this direction, but you may still be able to get that way. But if they're not wholehearted going the same exact direction, it's going to be exhausting.
Yes.
And pull.
Yeah.
So I imagine you felt a lot of that as you traversed that. Even though it wasn't necessarily a specific conversation, like, no, you cannot,
right,
do that.
No. And it was never like that. I want to reiterate that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No. I don't know that they will see this, but
yeah,
I don't want him to think that it was my feeling. And
yeah,
you know,
you're just speaking for yourself.
Right.
I don't hear you bad-mouthing anyone. I appreciate that honesty there. So I would imagine as you went through life, and you know, if this is an area that you don't want me to touch, I totally will retract. But, you know, having grown up majority of your life without that father influence in your life, it sounds like your mother didn't remarry.
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. And then,
partially,
you know,
my fault, but.
Okay. Maybe a different story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably.
But, and then, you know, being married to someone that didn't share your same beliefs and things, I imagine that would be very lonely, or, you know, very difficult. Have you noticed any different type of connection with God as a result of once you've, you know, stepped away, or have you seen God in a different way, like as a father or
a
friend?
Yeah, I think I do see him more as a father. I also believe that because I didn't have a father in my life, I relate to men differently than people I know that had a good father.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like I have a heavenly father, and basically that's all I need.
Yeah. Is that a challenging concept for you to hold on to or to tackle? Like you said, you see those relationships with men or whatever differently because of your past. You've been very honest about that. But is that something that, I mean, you only know your own experiences,
I get, but
is that something that you've struggled with, or is that?
You know, occasionally I've seen, especially I guess when I was in high school and I saw girls with their dads and how they related.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was hard to imagine it because I never had it. Never really thought about it till something like that would, you know, come up. And then it was like, I don't understand, you know, I just never had that feeling. And I had male, you know, my brother, of course, he was only 8 years older than me, my grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
I had an uncle, you know, I had men in my life, but men in your life and your dad is a lot different.
For sure.
So I guess that's a reason. I feel like I relate to men differently.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and then transitioning that into the imagery that is given of God as our Father, was that, or has that ever been challenging to kind of hold on to, like you said, having a warped or a challenging perspective of what a father is, or just your lack of experience? Is that concept?
You mean with God being
with
my
God
father?
Being, yeah. Has that been challenging? Or
no,
is that some,
because okay. I think, even, you know, even if you have an earthly father, and there's two different things there, you know, to me.
Yeah.
As, you know, God will always love us. Sometimes our fathers may not, you know,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, you know, it could be your fault or whatever. But I always felt that love.
I've had friends that have had challenges with their fathers, and that concept has been really challenging, and it's been interesting. Each person works through it differently.
Yeah.
And so I'm thankful to hear that even though you didn't have, you know, those representations or that leadership in your life in that way, like you've been able to connect with God on that level and in that role,
right,
where it has, for some people, it's, yeah, I see him as these Lord and Savior and friend, but the father stuff, I don't know about, but it sounds like, you know, God has made himself known and been a comfort to you in that
yes.
way. Yeah, that's great. What has been in your life? I mean, you already referenced, it was when you were younger and your words, not mine, but not younger anymore. But what in that time period of knowing Christ, walking with him for a long time, have you seen as a challenge or something that's been like hard to follow Christ in your life?
Maybe not hard to follow Christ, but when I see friends that I know don't believe, that's hard. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard for me to witness verbally. Everybody says, well, you witness by the way you live. I know that. But I also know that we should be witnessing.
Yep.
And that's difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not being able... Not, and, you know, I pray about it every day, and I, you know, I know that if I speak out, God will give me the words, but it's hard for me to step out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I know sometimes it's hard on that side, and it's also hard to really know when to do it. Like,
yeah.
You may have the desire to, but it's like, is this the right time, or is that the right time?
Yeah.
Or, you know, because you can definitely, you know, Scripture talks about a word fitly spoken. You can definitely say something at the wrong time and it'd be way worse than having said nothing at all.
Right, right. Yeah.
On the flip side, what has been some of the joy that you've experienced as a result of following Christ? Whereas if you hadn't trusted Christ, you wouldn't have experienced this joy.
I guess just the fellowship, the camaraderie with, you know, other believers.
Mm-hmm.
I think people miss out on that when they don't, you know, believe. And it's hard to describe. I enjoy being with everybody at church.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are times that we don't always agree, but I think that that's okay. We weren't put on this earth to agree with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I do so enjoy being with other Christians and just fellowshipping. I mean, you don't have to do anything, just being there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been really encouraging to hear you talk about how you've been able to connect with people in your in the body of Christ there at your local church, where if you didn't have Christ and then you went through a divorce, or, you know, you're on your own, then you have to look to other things.
Yeah,
whether
that's
it be
true.
who you go grocery shopping with, or, you know, the local Elks Club or VFW,
yeah,
or different things that, you know, aren't necessarily bad in themselves, but, you know, I think
it's
so
just
many,
not the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you have, you know, church, you and a body of believers, like you said, you know, aren't always going to agree on everything, but at least you're going in the same direction.
Right.
At least you have the same core tenets. Like, we all believe somewhat close to this, so we can all be pursuing after this together.
Right. And since our churches merged, I see a even better fellowship. Our church when we were just Ashland was an older congregation. I mean,
mm-hmm.
There were very few people in their 60s. And now we've got, you know, young people, we've got kids. And I love to see that in church.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago when my son was in the youth group, our church was full.
Okay.
And it was wonderful to see. We would have two rows of teenagers. And now we're sort of getting back to that, with the boys coming, mm-hmm, from homes, you know, being on the football team. And yeah. I love it. I am so pleased that we now have a group that can take over when we're gone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for those that don't know the dynamic, the church we go to is called Redemption Church, but formerly called Ashland Avenue Baptist Church. And like you said, it was kind of dwindling, I don't know, 15, 20 people or so.
Yeah, sometimes 40, but that's
okay,
about
but it. Majority north of 70, like you,
mm-hmm,
said. And there was another church called Redemption that they merged with that had a younger pastor and a younger congregation who, at the time, the church was very close to a local high school, Holmes High School, that,
mm-hmm,
the pastor is very involved in. And so they were able to have an older congregation, younger congregation merge, now using Ashton Avenue's old building. And so that's, I know my wife and I started going there just over 2 years ago. So it was about 2 months or 3 months after the right. merger had taken place. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's definitely positioned well with the surrounding area to be a light in that community.
Right.
Well, after hearing your story, what would you want someone to have their big takeaway? What would be that one thing you'd want to give them to say, if you don't hear anything else, this is what I want you to know about my relationship with God, my story?
Just that I love the Lord, and I pray for everybody that they too can come to know Him.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely had a profound impact on your life. And
it did. It still does.
I know we didn't get into deep into a lot of things, which is totally fine, but I imagine if we were to spend the time and talk more about different things, I'm sure that presence of God would shine through. Like, I can tell it's had a great impact on your life, and you don't have that aside from knowing Christ.
Right.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for taking time to share your story.
You're welcome. It wasn't as bad as I thought.
No, it was good. It was good. So, and you have a lot of good stuff to share. So thank you for sharing.
Alrighty, thank you.
Finding a community of Christ followers is essential to effectively follow God. Despite accepting Christ at an early age, Sue pointed to the community of faith that she joined as an adult as playing a significant role in some of the most meaningful growth she's experienced since trusting Christ. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "Let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Gathering together with a local group of Christians is much more than simply church attendance, as that assembly is where encouragement can be found, which motivates others to do good and love others. Well, this wraps up our 33rd episode of Redemption Report. As always, more content and my contact info can be found at twareproductions.com. Don't hesitate to reach out to me if you'd like to share your story or if you just want to say hello. Please hit the like button and share this episode with a friend. We'll see you on the next episode of Redemption Report.